We're launching a series this month, and once a year, we like to do a series either specifically about a book of the Bible, where we do a deep dive into a book of the Bible, or just generally about the Bible itself. And so this month, what we're doing is we're doing a book about the Word of God. We're actually going to, we're going to look into the Bible. The Bible's amazing. My goal or inspiration is out of this month is that your appetite, your hunger for the Bible will be stirred afresh. Because the Bible, and we're going to talk quite a bit about it, it's incredible. The Bible was written over 1,500 years by over 40 different authors, from kings through to fishermen, yet it's anointed and consistent in its theme. It's the most globally influential book in all of history. It's been translated into more languages than any other book. 3,500 languages the Bible has been transformed into. It's endured over time, despite efforts over the centuries to suppress it or destroy it. The Bible still, today, is the number one best-selling book all around the world. That's the Bible. The Bible says about itself in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul writes and says that all Scripture, everybody say all Scripture, is inspired or God-breathed, one translation says, and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. The Bible is something to both help us realize what's wrong and right. It'll help us be equipped to live the life that God's given for us. I like what Pastor Andy Stanley says. The Bible will make you good at, or better at life, and it'll make your life better. Right. It'll make you better at life, and it'll make your life better. So this month, we're going to particularly feature a book that has just been released by C3's very own Dr. Gordon Moore. And Dr. Gordon Moore was a pastor of C3 Lighthouse in Brisbane, and he comes up pretty much each year to preach in our church, also in his 70s, and he's literally in the last few weeks released his book called The Bible, Book of Books. The Bible, Book of Books. And what I love about Pastor Gordon's book, that's like the cover, Pastor Gordon's books, they're about 100 pages and you can read them in 90 minutes. So for my sense of accomplishment that I've actually read a book, these are some of my favorite books, all right. And we're going to be getting in copies of these books in the next couple of weeks, both in Melbourne and here on the sunny coast, and encourage you to buy one, to read it, and to kind of get some inspiration around the Word of God. It's got a great chapter that I'd really encourage you, if you've never read about how did the Bible get put together, who put it together, who decided what was in the Bible. There's a chapter there on the origins and the reliability of the Bible. I got a sneak peek of it, the book, and I read it this week and highly recommend. So we want to equip you and encourage you and all of us to be Bible readers, Bible studiers, Bible meditators, Bible speakers, so that we don't just try and get through the Bible, but we get the Bible through us. That's what we're trying to do. Now, why read the Bible, I hear you ask. Maybe you're an occasional reader. Maybe you're someone who thinks I should read. One of the largest surveys ever done about the influence or the effect of reading the Bible was done in the States a few years ago. They literally surveyed 40,000 people across America, so all from all variety of lives. And they found, this is interestingly, they found that someone who read the Bible once or twice a week, it was good, but there was no significant difference from those who didn't read the Bible at all. But they found when they got to people who read the Bible consistently at least four times a week, okay, at least four times. So this is where it's becoming habitual to read the Bible. This is where it's a lifestyle. They found some incredible differences in the lives of people who read the Bible at least four times a week. They call it the power of four. Doesn't mean you only have to read it four times. It's a minimum, just to be clear. Firstly, they found this. Those who read the Bible at least four times a week experienced much better mental health. Specifically, 30%, statistically across 40,000 people, that's a big survey, 30% less chance to be struggling with loneliness, 32% less chance of experiencing anger issues, and destructive thoughts were noticeably less by those with good Bible reading habits. You want to know why to read the Bible? It's good for your mental health. What about your marriage or your relationships? Those who read their Bible at least four times a week reported better outcomes in their relationships. They experienced significantly less relational issues in their marriage, 40% more than peers. You want a better marriage? There it is. I'm going to tell you about these in a few moments. A better spiritual life. Okay, they'd reported having a better spiritual life, which you'd expect. 60% less likely to feel spiritually stagnant. 228% more likely to share their faith with others. This is those who read the Bible at least four times a week. These are some of the benefits. Now, there's lots of ways to read the Bible, and the key is that we're reading it and we're getting it into us. I'm going to talk a little bit about that, but I want to recommend three ways that I've read. I've been a pretty daily kind of reader of the Bible since I sat in a church service like this in Toowoomba when I was 13 years old. And someone spoke about the power and importance of a daily quiet time and reading the Bible and praying each day. And I'd say since then, it's been my design and desire to read the Bible every day. I haven't read it every day, but it's been a particular focus of mine. And one of the real great things that I just highly recommend in reading the Bible is, okay, old school, and this does have, yes, it does have large print, but that's because it was the only one available. Before you start judging, it's before I got glasses. This is called the one-year Bible, all right, the one-year Bible. And what I love about the one-year Bible, I'd say 30 of the last 40 years, I've probably read the one-year Bible. It's a way to get through the Bible in a year by reading a portion of the Old Testament, a portion of the New Testament, a portion of Psalms, and a portion of Proverbs. And this is what they say. If you're an average reader, 15 minutes a day, you'll get through the Bible in a year. Quite amazing. What I love about the way they do this is when you're in some pretty tough Old Testament Leviticus kind of moments, you can always get to the New Testament and be reading about Jesus in the Gospels. And so you can't. Some of it's hard work, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but it's a really great way. Another thing I like to do is every few years just to start to read a different version of the Bible. It's because I find that when you read different versions, it's like, I read the Message, or I read the Passage, the Passion. Read this is the NIV. I'm currently in the NLT. So different versions just have a different way of bringing the Bible alive and keeping it fresh. So that's my first hot tip: the 1 year Bible. Okay, if you've been a Christian for a while, you can read the Bible in a year. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say you can read the Bible in a year. You can do it. Just turn to your other neighbor and say, 15 minutes less Netflix time and you'll get through it, easy. 15 minutes less Netflix time and you'll get through that Bible. All right. Come on, somebody. All right, that's just a straight Bible. I also recommend along the journey somewhere getting a study Bible. So I was given this Bible when I turned 30 years old, when I was just become the senior pastor of this church in June the year before. And in February, 30 years old, 2001, I was given this study Bible by the seven advisory group leaders in our church. So Russell and Rita were part of those. Judy Phillips, you're signed in here. So there was this team, they gave me this Bible. And this one is called a Spirit-Filled Life Bible. You know it's Spirit-filled because you open it up and it starts speaking in tongues. No, just kidding. Sorry. Highly recommend this as well. This is called a study Bible. And so along with this particular Bible, as you read it, there's notes all the way through. There's little studies. There's little word studies. There's things that explain almost every verse. And I love, it was put together by a guy called Jack Hayford, who wrote Majesty. It was like the Shout to the Lord before there was Shout to the Lord, which was like Oceans before there were. Okay, just follow me through. Anyway, highly recommend. You can get it in a digital form, or you can get it in a form like this. And so I would use this a few times a week, particularly because I have a Bible app that has the Spirit-Filled Life Bible. And as I read through the one-year Bible, I like to refer to the Spirit-Filled Study Bible and a couple of other study Bibles just to get a bit more understanding what's going on. So highly recommend a study Bible, but particularly the Spirit-Filled Study Bible. And my last kind of hot tip this morning, and throughout the month, each of us who preach will give some thoughts around how to stir your hunger. This is my discovery this year. The world's foremost theologian right now is a guy called N.T. Wright. He's in the UK. Canon J. John highly recommends, great friends. N.T. Wright, when he writes theological pieces, he uses the name N.T. Wright. But when he writes stuff for the average church member, he uses his name Tom Wright. So that's how you know. So if you're like in the early start of your Christian journey, you go to Coorong and find something by N.T. Wright, put it aside and look for Tom Wright. Just saying, all right? And so he's actually written a version of the Bible. So he's done a paraphrase or a rewrite translation of the Bible, which is awesome. Probably the most recent person to do that. But he has what this is called the For Everyone series, all right? And the For Everyone series, literally, this one is the pastoral letters, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. He literally has a passage of scripture and then about 3 pages of commentary about that particular scripture. Helps you understand the context, helps you understand the culture, helps you understand the audience of why it's been written. And so I've been kind of working my way through these this year, and I can't recommend enough if you want to get a bit more understanding and go a bit deeper. Tom Wright, For Everyone. Get your hands on it, you'll love it. All right. I know I felt like I was doing a little bit of sales there, but I want to help equip you in your world. My other hot tip, when you're reading your Bible, okay, have a set time and a set place each day where you read your Bible, and then at this particular place where there's minimal distractions, have somewhere. I love using a paper version because I get distracted with my phone. But if you use your phone or iPad, power to you. If it works for you, that's cool. But I love to have a journal beside it, and every time I read, my goal is for God to speak to me, for something to stick out. So I'm learning, things are happening, but I want to go, what do I notice here today? Holy Spirit, talk to me from the Bible today, and then I'll write that in a journal each day, and that becomes, and we'll get to this in a moment, that's part of my spiritual food. I've got an accountability group with about 13 people that I post with every morning my scripture. I already saw yours today, David Unwin, Micah, really good, good job. So I post it early in the morning, and it's just part of accountability and life together. So your connect group could post your daily scriptures. It would be a really great thing to see what God's saying. How are we doing today? Give me a wave, okay, if you would say I'm a 4 times a week minimum Bible reader. Give me a wave today. All right. Okay, good, good. In Melbourne, I see those hands. That's awesome. Let me talk about, I'm going to preach a bit out of chapter 5 of Dr. Gordon, Pastor Gordon's book. And in chapter 5, he talks about the nature of the Bible. The nature of the Bible. And particularly in the Bible, there's at least 12 references in the Bible of what the Bible is like. So it's like a metaphor for the Bible. So the Bible calls itself a fire to refine us. The Bible calls itself a hammer to break the hard rocks in our life when we're hard-hearted in areas. The Bible talks about a mirror to reflect and transform who we're being transformed in. The Bible talks about a seed that goes into our heart that will endure forever. A person becomes a Christian because they hear the Bible, a verse of the Bible, and the good news of who Jesus is. And that verse, inspired by the Holy Spirit, comes into our life, and that seed becomes the form of our transformation. We become a new creation because we hear the Word of God. If you're here today, you're listening, you're watching online, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, this is not just about trying to be a good person. This is about receiving the good news from God. And it comes into our heart, and we become a brand new person according to the seed of the Word of God. Just as we became a human being because of our Father's seed, we become born again because of a Word of God that becomes a seed in our heart, and we become a new creation. The Bible's a seed that will endure forever. The Bible's a laver to cleanse. I'll get to that a little bit later on. The Bible's a lamp to guide our feet, or a light or a torch to light up the ways that we should go. The Bible is rain and snow to refresh us when we need refreshing. A sword to divide between flesh and spirit. The Bible is gold to enrich our lives. It's power to create faith, and it's food to nourish. These are 12 different things the Bible is. You can look into a number of them. I want to talk about just 2 of those this morning. I want to talk about the Bible is spiritual food. It's spiritual food. Now, I don't know how many dietitians we have in the house. I know we've got some in our church who have studied nutrition. We've got some who watched the movie That Sugar Film and are now experts on nutrition. We've got a variety of different people. And okay, what I understand about food, and you know, I'm going to tell you straight from ChatGPT because he/she is an expert. No, just kidding. There are five variety of nutrients that we need in a variety in our form. Macronutrients, proteins, carbohydrates, fats. Micronutrients, we need vitamins and minerals. Water, come on, no one can argue with that. We need water. Fiber, we need fiber in our bodies. And we need, wait for this one, plant-derived phytochemicals, which I've got not a lot of idea what that actually is, but I know it's really important. No, okay, it's like nutrients that are antitoxins, and they come from food, vegetables and fruit, things from whole grains, fruits, vegetables, etc. Now, the Australian, let me just read this to you. The Australian Dietary Guidelines recommend that we eat a wide variety of nutritious foods every day from those five food groups. All right, not sure which one KFC comes in, but I feel like probably the protein one and the starch one. So that's if you have the chips with it. That's just the whole package deal. But so from a healthy long-term life, we need to make sure we've got good diets. Come on, I remember my mum making me eat broad beans. They're the most disgusting veggies on the planet, but I'm sure they've got some phytochemicals in them to help me. I'm sure they did. So this is food, all right? And we've got to eat a variety of foods. We've got to, come on, who got taught you got to eat your veggies growing up? All right, who doesn't eat your veggies now though? Come on, get on board, somebody. Get on board. Here we go. Come on, Toby, you're married now. Eat those veggies. You know you should. So that's physical food. Now the Bible is spiritual food. It's spiritual food. If you wonder why you're spiritually weak, maybe look at your diet. If you wonder why it's hard to resist temptation, maybe look at your diet. If you wonder why you're running out of stamina in life and burning out, maybe it's a spiritual diet issue. So this is what the Bible talks, and let's look at four types of food that the Bible compares to. The first one is milk. Come on, somebody. Somebody say milk. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, therefore rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy and slander of every kind. So this is how we get rid of, we're changing when we're following Jesus. We're turning from our old ways where we were selfish and angry and envious and speaking evil about different people. And the way that we are being transformed is this: like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, that you have tasted that the Lord is good. When you become a baby Christian, when you get born again, when you meet Jesus, you become a new creation. The Bible talks about us being babies, and we need spiritual food and we need spiritual milk. And we need teams of new Christian follow-up people who'll go and help deliver spiritual milk to people and help them understand Jesus and the love of God and the kindness of God and the goodness of God. And so we're looking at that, and that's milk that we kind of we eat when we eat or drink. I'm not sure what you do. You eat and drink milk as a baby, and you kind of grow up with that. That gets you going. But how many people know it would be weird if I invited you over for dinner? And you're over 18 and you rock up and you sit at your table and I pull out some formula milk and I sit it right in front of you and go, welcome to dinner. God, bless this milk for us tonight. How many know that if you're just still having milk after you've been a Christian a couple of years, that maybe there's trouble? And here's the thing about milk. Milk is where someone feeds it to you. Food is where you start to feed yourself. All right, and that's the journey of a Christian, where I'm not just relying, you know, let me just, little thought around this, I'm not just relying on a podcast. Podcasts are good, but they are no substitute for personally, directly reading the Word of God. Podcasts can inspire us, but they should always be secondary to being in the Word of God ourselves and devouring the Word of God. So we need spiritual milk. Now, spiritual milk's awesome. And we want to help people grow in their early stages. Then, the next type of food the Bible is it's bread. Come on, any bread lovers in the house? Nothing like that smell of freshly cooked bread. You walk past the bakery. We've got some bakers in our church that get up early in the morning. And just that beautiful, fresh bread. It's awesome. And Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. As he was fighting the devil, resisting temptation. And this is what he said. Man doesn't live by bread alone. He doesn't live by sourdough alone. He doesn't live by multigrain alone. He doesn't live by white bread. He doesn't live by bread alone, by Turkish bread indeed. But by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The Bible, as you read your Bible, your one-year Bible, there's words in here that are your bread for today. I don't know if you've ever got to, some of you probably forget to eat breakfast, and others of you can't imagine what that would ever be like to forget to eat breakfast. I can kind of get through, but by about 11 o'clock, if I haven't eaten natural food, I start to feel my tummy rumbling. I start to feel the sort of withdrawals, if you like. And your spirit is like that. Once you get in the habit of reading your Bible, you're like, oh, there's something missing. I don't feel as strong today. What's going on? Because when we read our Bible, it comes alive. And this is literally, it means the quickened word from God. Now, the fresh bread is the best bread, not yesterday's bread, yeah. Not the day before's bread. Yeah. When we were struggling financially growing up, my mum would sometimes get day-old bread for us just to kind of get, and it wasn't too bad. But if you left it for too long, it started to get a little old and a little chunky. It just wasn't what we were going for. And just because God spoke to you yesterday, it doesn't sustain us today. There's a word from God for every believer for today. Today, if you hear my voice. This is why carving out the habit, fighting for the habit, where you set aside just 15 minutes or so to be with God and be with the Word and to think about it. During this series, we'll talk about how to engage with the Word of God over a period of time. So it's daily bread. Come on. Sometimes it's got Vegemite on it. Other times it's got peanut butter, cheese, the whole lot. I'll get to honey in a moment because that's another type of the Word. All right. So there's milk. There's bread. It's spiritual food, the Bible. It's also meat. Come on, somebody. Now we're talking. All right. Again, apologies to the vegetarians and vegans in the house who have got no bread or got no meat. It's lentils to us. Not really. Anyway, this is what Hebrews chapter 5 says this. There is much more we would like to say about this, but it's difficult to explain. Wait, there's a burn coming. The writer of Hebrews, who we're not sure exactly who it is. It's the first of the epistles after Paul's epistles. So if you read the New Testament, it goes in order. Just to help for a moment, the first four books of the New Testament are called the Gospels. They're the testimonies of Jesus' life: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then Acts is actually the story of the New Testament church. So the first five are like autobiographical. Then you get into the letters, or epistles is another word for letters, written by Paul the Apostle. And you go, well, how do they put them in order? It's quite spiritually complicated, from the biggest to the smallest. That's it. So it goes, Romans is the biggest letter he wrote, then 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philemon, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, goes right through to the little book called Philemon, and that's all of the Pauline epistles, and then it's got some other letters that we either know or we don't know who wrote them, like Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude. So that's, and then the last book is about the future, Revelation. So this is the author of Hebrews, who we don't really know who it is. Some people think Barnabas, other people think Peter, some say Paul, but it's not clear. And he's about to burn some Christians who are, we'll just read it, you'll hear about it. There's much more we'd like to say about this, but it's difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. Ouch. Hope that wasn't your word for today. You've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Whoa, I could just pause there. There's a period of time. You've been believers so long, you should be leading a small group by now. Should be helping some new Christians by now. You should be passing on what you've learnt by now. Anyway, let's just keep moving. I didn't write the letter. I'm just giving some interpretations. You ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You're like babies who need milk and can't eat solid food yet. This is not a good burn. This is a, come on, wake up. Get moving now. Don't just be a consumer waiting for people to feed me, feed me, feed me. Start to feed yourself. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant, doesn't even know how to do what's right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. So this is we've got the milk, and then we've got bread, daily bread, but now we've got the meat. Now the meat is what we're getting some protein from, iron, all that sort of stuff, all that good stuff. I'm looking at Danielle, proteins from chicken, right? Iron from red meat, all that stuff, all that good stuff. Now we're at the barbecue, folks. This is awesome. And so this is for people who are not just having a snippet of the verse of the day on their Instagram account, which is a good start. This is for people who are setting some time aside to get into the Word. This is people who are going to go to Bible college. Not because they're called to be a pastor, just because they want to know the Word of God better. Melbourne, we've got a college that runs, and I know numbers of you are doing it. We've paused our college on the coast this year, but I want to let you know we're relaunching in 2025. We're relaunching internship in 2025 on the coast. We've had a pause, and I just want to encourage people, like, I need to get some meat. I need to be able to understand the Bible. I need to study the Bible. Bible college will be a great place for that. And then the last thing here is the Bible's honey. Psalm 19:9-10. This is great. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. They're more desirable than gold. This is when the Bible in the Old Testament talks about the law. It's talking particularly about the first five books of the Bible. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Bible. Jews would call it the Torah, the Pentateuch. And a young Jewish boy at the age of 5 or 6 would start to study the law and would memorize chapters. And some would, by the time they were 11 or 12, they'd memorize whole books of the Old Testament. They would be immersed in the Bible. It would be part of their life. And so they would be taught that the Word of God, it's good, it's true, more desirable than gold. Get the Word of God over money. The Word of God is what will change and sustain our life. And then it says they're sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. What a beautiful picture of honey just being freshly dropping off a honeycomb. And this is what the Bible is. Sometimes you need a bit of sweetness for your soul. Come on, sometimes life's wearing you out. And it's not, you don't need a big steak. What you need is God just to speak encouragement to your soul. This is why every day when we read, the Bible speaks to us. And sometimes it's correction. Sometimes it helps with our thinking. Other times it's just the Bible's feeding us. Honey, honey for your soul. Come on, some honey for your soul. The Word of God, it's powerful. I want us to close our eyes right now, Melbourne. Join me online. Why don't you join me as we close our eyes? Father, we thank you for Jesus, who is the Word of God in flesh. And we thank you for the Bible, which is the Word of God spoken to us and now recorded. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us increase in our hunger for your Word. You'd help us to hold your Word above all else, to pursue it, to desire it more than gold or money. Father, I pray that every member of C3 Powerhouse, every person listening to this message, would be able to carve out time each day to be in your Word. I pray that you'd stir our hunger for your Word, stir our passion for your Word, stir our appetite for your Word. While your eyes are closed, I want to let there be an application for this. And I'm wondering, it's the 3rd of November today. I'm wondering who could make a commitment to read at least a Bible verse a day until the end of the month, the next 27 days, at least. For some of you, that's milk level. For some of you, it's bread. It's like, okay, I'm gonna read, open up and read a little more. I'm gonna go straight to Kura and go online. Or, I mean, there's great, the YouVersion app has a one-year Bible on it. You could kind of tune into that. And also, it can be, you can hear it spoken out loud, which is also a good way to read along with the word being spoken out loud. But I'm wondering if you want to say, you know what? I want to get that spiritual food into my life. I want that habit of being someone who's in the Word of God, and you want to commit to that to the end of this month. Would you just raise your hand right now and say, yeah, that's me. I want to be in the Word. Up high. In Melbourne, up high. So many hands. So good. We want to be in your Word, God. Even if you already are, we want to be in your Word. Magnificent. All right. Melbourne, I'm going to hand you back to Tobias. Enjoy the rest of your service. God bless you. For those of us here, I'm going to preach a second part of this message tonight about what the Bible is like, not just spiritual food, but some other aspects of what the Bible is like. I really want to unpack that. So if you're very welcome to join us. But just while we've got our eyes closed this morning, if you're watching online, why don't you just close your eyes? If you're here this morning,